If you look at your bulletins, you'll see we have a scripture reading and a message. Well, Paul and I are detouring from the bulletin this morning. It was all made out. Sarah is so exceptionally good. She had it all run out by Wednesday. And then I just can't say it any other way, but God changed my heart, and it changed directions for this morning. I got to thinking more and more about annual conference. And we knew that Heather, and thank you again, Heather, for your wonderful report this morning. What I love about Heather is she's downright honest with you. She tells you exactly how it is and how it felt from where she was at. And we need that. Those are the ears and the voices that we need to hear from. And I thought, well, you know, not everyone comes to Summer Forum. And then we thought, well, we could maybe do something like the wrap up during the 10:15. And we thought, well, not even everyone makes it in by then. So we thought to give you a better flavor of annual conference that we would change direction on the message this morning. Now, as you can see, it was going to come from Acts 15. And the title is Turning Evil on Its Head. We are going to be doing that next Sunday. We have been, as you know, doing Characters of the Bible, as a little mini-series on each, and we've touched Abraham a little bit on Father's Day. We did a series on Sarah, and now we're going to begin a series on Apostle Paul and then Apostle John, and that will take us pretty much through the end of September. But this Sunday, we want to interrupt that flow and tell you about and have you hear what happened in Greensboro, North Carolina, and this annual conference occurred at the beginning of July. The theme for this annual conference was Proclaim Christ, Reclaim Passion. The purpose of this annual conference was to focus on a compelling vision, and that meant that they wanted us to focus more on what is it that we agree upon versus what do we disagree upon. In order to know that, they needed to make a compilation of voices of what they were hearing, and then we will be hearing later what their compilation of what our 677 delegates said, which was over 80 tables of dialogue and discussion. And even more so than that, because even Paul and I sat at tables for non-delegates and had those discussions, not only with people who were not pastors, but those who were in various locations. I'd have to say, admittedly, Paul and I are still in the afterglow of annual conference. There's something very special about that time when brethren come together. When we come together in worship, when we come together in song, we all have a passion. It may be directed in different ways, different theologies, but we all go and we all attend with a passion for God. So sometimes it's easy for us to forget that you didn't attend with us, so maybe you didn't hear, and maybe you don't even know what our annual conference is about. So there are 8 sermons. They invite each year a different 8 speakers to come in and give a message, one in the morning and one in the evening. And so out of those 8, I took 3 of those messages, and I'm blending them, and you'll know when one begins and the next one ends, or one ends and the next one begins. But they're all focused on, again, proclaim Christ and reclaim passion. So we will begin with our formerly Lincolnshire to Arizona Circle of Peace Church, Jeremy Ashworth. Jeremy Ashworth spoke on servanthood, and he was citing Isaiah chapter 42, which emphasizes service, justice, and freedom. Verses 6 and 7, that he especially spent time on, states that service is the core of all 3. And it states in Isaiah, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Jeremy also cited Matthew 12 and chapter 25, which holds the Great Commission, where, paraphrased, Jesus asked, if we saw him while he was caring for the sick, while he was caring for the widows, and caring for the orphans, because Jesus did these services in a spirit of gentleness and kindness, so we are to follow his example. Yet Jeremy took it a step further by stating that we are not tamed do-gooders. For example, that being humble does not necessarily mean being quiet. He encouraged us to step out of our comfort zones and to go in the opposite direction of the service that we're inclined to do best. For example, if you tend to be a very verbal person and you don't have any problems talking to people about Christ, he suggests that you try more of the hands-on service. On the other hand, if on-hand service is your forte, then he attempts, and he would like you to attempt, to be more verbal in your witness. Service, after all, he states, is holy ground. Jump out of your brethren bubbles, he stated. Take a risk and serve your neighbor or serve the world. But why are we so reluctant to do this, he asked. Well, because it's unsettling to do something new, to meet someone new who is different from us. Several times, Jeremy emphasized that we can and we should face this fear because the other person is just as afraid of us as we are of them. As we immerse ourselves into the global world or into multicultural community around us, he says we need to learn and we need to appreciate their music, we need to appreciate their language, and to learn of their longings and of their aches. We need a multicultural God perspective, Jeremy stated, not a national perspective. He stated, we can't be hating others just because they are different, and we can't be fragile about facing and accepting the others. Jeremy states that we must lose our sense of entitlement, and we need to leave our place of comfort to learn to love our neighbor. After all, he states, the body of Christ was global before we ever got here.
The second pastors, they're co-pastors, just like Cheryl and I. Tim and Audrey Hollenberg Duffy emphasize family making, a correlation that we have no choice who our family or bloodline is. But you know what? We have a choice as to what and who our church is. Regardless, all families bicker, and there are broken relationships. The Duffys were speaking directly to our denomination split theologically that has caused division in the past and is the reason for the intensified compelling vision. In hopes to maintain our unity and appreciation for diversity within our churches, whether here, in our nation, or internationally. The Duffys explained that broken relationships occur when dignity has been violated, or there's a lack of value issued to one side or the other. We may say, this person's up here, but this person's down here. When sides are taken, relationships quickly evolve into a checkmate situation, where one feels paralyzed in a situation, unable to move in any direction, with hitting a wall of opposition. But let's face it, all families are fractured in some ways. In some, it's a greater fraction than others. Sometimes it's just plain broken. Others that seem harmonious, though, are often codependent and stifling in creativity or individualism. Thus, our faith family, as we have in the church, is often splintered for various reasons, as commonly seen in blood family lines. Tension has occurred since the beginning of time. For example, when we had God and Adam and Eve, was there tension? Oh, you bet there was. Humanity, due to sin, has caused a tension that steps away from God. This distance and force separating mankind from God determines the amount of tension found between the two. To release the tension, God steps towards us. One only needs to read the Sermon on the Mount or read 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. That states that we cannot love God and hate our fellow persons. To know that God is love and that God calls for reconciliation. So you know we have a choice. In our denomination, in our church relationships, in our families, when we experience tension, number one, we can cut the bond. We can simply step away with no attempt to reconcile. Number two, we can play tug of war, insisting that our beliefs and interpretations of Scripture are the most valid, and we can continue to argue, which in turn only increases the tension. Now, number three, we can try to control the church, the denomination, the family by secretly talking behind the backs of others, grabbing people to be ours and thereby stacking the deck in our favor. Or we can practice the ministry of reconciliation and step toward one another within our world, within our nation, within our church, within our families, and choose to disagree, but do so peacefully and respectfully. After all, it is imperative that we care for one another before we ever consider correcting each other.
Thank you for that visual. We love that. It was so powerful up there on stage. And the two pastors actually had the rope between them and were demonstrating that as they were talking. And I thought, wow, that's so key and so important for us to remember amongst ourselves, amongst our family members, in the church, in the denomination. How do we solve this problem of differences? It is not by arguing. That will get us nowhere. It is by stepping closer to one another and accepting each other as we are. As we are. Although Pastor Jonathan Prater from Virginia spoke prior to the Duffies at annual conference, his message to me would have been a great tag to have followed the Duffy's Tag of War illustration and the need for reconciliation. Prater states that we need to call upon the Holy Spirit. He said something I didn't hear from anybody else, and I thought that's the most powerful piece of all of them. We must call upon the Holy Spirit, that our actions may mean nothing without the backing and the power of the Holy Spirit to raise up something new within us. And I want you to go home with that phrase, that God can raise something new within us. Just think of that new grass that grows in your yard. The Holy Spirit never stops working. We may pause in our personal growth. We may enter different phases of our life, but everyone is touched differently by the Holy Spirit. Every church, every denomination, it's touched differently. We must always, always remember to leave room for the Holy Spirit's influence on our lives and upon the body of believers. And I just had to pause and think about that. You know, so when we get flustered, when we see brethren doing something we don't think they should be doing, or we look at our brethren and we think, man, I don't think that way at all. And we just shake our heads. How can they even think that way? We need to leave room for the Holy Spirit to work, not just in their lives, but in our lives. Prater explains that this anticipation, this creating space for the Holy Spirit, creates a passion in our souls. He shared with us, he goes, you know, I'm a 1 to 20 kind of guy. My passions can go from 1 to 20 in a heartbeat. And he wasn't talking anger. He was talking passions. And maybe anger was part of that. But I think love is also that. I think people who anger easily are also those who love eagerly. And he goes on with his personal illustration concerning his foster children. He says, you know, my wife and I, we have two children of our own, and then we have two foster children. And he says, never, ever, ever do I ever consider two mine and the foster kids the others. He says, because God has given me all four children. They've all been given to me by God, and I claim all four children as my children. And he says, I am passionate about loving all four of them, regardless of how different they may be, regardless of where they come from. He says, I am passionate about each. And that, my friends, is how God sees us, as his children. He passionately loves each of us, regardless of how different we are from one another. Jesus died for his people, and we are his people. We are not nameless, and we are not faceless in the eyes of God. The book of Romans, chapters 9 and 10, are key passages to visit whenever you, and if you ever, question your worth in God or to God. You know, if God loves us this passionately, we are called to love each other this passionately, regardless of any theological differences, and regardless of any irritating habits that we may presently see in each other, because God died for this. He is that passionate about us.
But this passion, this patient love that overlooks irritations and differences cannot be taught. Cheryl and I, when we were going through the TRIM program, we never took a course in Passion for People 101. It doesn't exist. Likewise, it cannot be learned from other people. Passion comes from God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We see this demonstrated when, after a heated discussion, two warring entities come together. They embrace one another and they say, "I love you just as you are." You know, parents, we do this all the time, don't we? We love them. We don't just give up on them because they're someone else's, because they're ours. We can have that same care, that same passion within our churches and within our denomination. Prater continued with the exhortation that when we choose to see one another's sin, each other's downfalls, differences in opinion, or what we consider unacceptable, whatever's, we lose seeing that person as a person. We lose a story that is within that person. Thus, we no longer see the needs of that individual or groups of people. Prater continues to emphasize that if we don't anchor our faith, if we aren't grounded in the gospel of love, we will focus on items that are not heaven-bound. For example, what if we just focus totally on our worship service attendance, whether it's up or down? Whether we're bringing in younger couples, older couples, in-between couples into the life of the church? If our budget is correctly aligned, what if that is our major emphasis? When we make these our focus, we lose the passion of Christ. We forget to embrace the Spirit which is within us. We forget to seek out the life stories that are all around us. And that is so important when we hear about each of your stories with Christ, or when we hear about the healings that have taken place, whether it's healings, physical, mental, emotional healings. When Christ is a part of it, that's what's important. Everything else is minutia. Only God's grace can transform us. Only God's saving grace and compassion can do the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us come to church each Sunday. Let's be expectant. Let's be watchful. And let's be eager to see where God is doing his most important work. And we say, amen.